Welcome to the April 3rd, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and cover the biggest stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So Bitcoin is over $5,000 this morning. It's at $5,020 to be precise. And this is about the same price it was in the early morning hours on Tuesday when Bitcoin first had this big rally from about 4,200 all the way up to 5,080. And then Bitcoin went down at that point to about 4,700. But since then, Bitcoin has been steadily rising. So there is strong buying pressure in the market, and it seems like this rally trend and this bullish trend is continuing. So we've seen a continual rise from about 4,700 all the way to 5,020. Just before midnight last night, Bitcoin went to 5,080 again and got pushed back to below 5,000, above 4,900. So it seems like there is resistance around $5,100. That's the key resistance level to watch. But in general, Bitcoin's doing very good. Remember, the bear market low was all the way back at $3,100. We're about $2,000 above that bear market low now. So what's really driving this rally is actually the rest of the crypto market, all the other major cryptocurrencies rallying a lot. At first, we saw Bitcoin rally a ton from 4,200 to over 5,000, but then it activated all of the other major cryptocurrencies. I'm just going to go through some of the percentage changes of some of the crazier ones. Like Litecoin is up 21% in the past 24 hours. It's at $84, $5.15 billion market cap. Pretty tremendous rally, but that's not even the biggest one. Bitcoin Cash is up 50% in the past 24 hours. I've rarely seen, in fact, I don't think I've ever seen in the past, like, year or so, a rally like this for a major cryptocurrency. 50% in 24 hours. Bitcoin Cash is at $289, $5.1 billion market cap. It's close to overtaking Litecoin. It already overtook EOS, and now it's close to going into the number four spot. We will see if that happens. But yeah, Bitcoin Cash is coming back. So Bitcoin Cash got really wrecked in November when Bitcoin SV formed. Like, so basically Bitcoin Cash was one cryptocurrency and then it forked into Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV. And when that happened, there was a pretty intense internet fight. It looked pretty ugly. And it is probably part of the reason that Bitcoin crashed from like 6,000 down to 3,000. The whole market went down right when that Bitcoin Cash fork happened. And Bitcoin Cash was over $500 before the fork, and then it was like below $100 after the fork at the worst point. So Bitcoin Cash was actually below $100 at one point. Now it's at $289. That's a tremendous profit for people that actually invested back then. But it was probably pretty scary to invest in Bitcoin Cash at that point. People might have thought it was about to like totally die out. Well, anyways, it's coming back, and maybe it'll go back to like $500 eventually at this rate. As for other crazy earnings this morning, Bitcoin SV is up 25%. And then Dogecoin is doing really awesome this morning too. Dogecoin is up 35%. So Dogecoin actually kind of started this whole rally. It rallied 18% the morning before the main rally that happened around midnight a day or two ago. So Dogecoin was kind of like a precursor for the big rally, and now Dogecoin is going off again. It's like really rallying more than anything this morning. It's up 35%. Most of the Bitcoin Cash rally actually happened like yesterday afternoon. So Dogecoin's what's really skyrocketing this morning. It's a $405 million market cap now. It's near 0.0034 cents per Dogecoin. So Dogecoin is rapidly rising up those ranks on CoinMarketCap. Now it's in number 24. And I've always thought Dogecoin was a major cryptocurrency, and it's reasserting itself here. If it keeps rallying like this, it'll easily slide up the ranks. There's actually one minor story involving Dogecoin which might have something to do with it. Elon Musk says that Dogecoin is his favorite cryptocurrency, or his exact quote is, "Dogecoin might be my favorite cryptocurrency. It's pretty cool." So he tweeted that on Tuesday, which was yesterday, and lo and behold, Dogecoin is rallying like 35%. There's no other fundamental reason for this, so maybe that's why Dogecoin's rallying so much, because Elon Musk is like really popular on Twitter. He has like many millions of followers, and he's, yeah, just really an influencer in general. So he gave his endorsement for Dogecoin, and it's up 35%. And it's kind of like every little positive news announcement in this sort of market would cause a rally. So like the market wants to go up anyways. There's strong buying pressure. So any sort of positive news, no matter how minor the news is, like this Elon Musk saying he loves Dogecoin, it's enough maybe to cause a rally because of the conditions are so optimal right now. Going through the full market analysis, we just talked about the cryptocurrencies that are going up the most But all the cryptocurrencies are up this morning. Ethereum's up 8.5%. It's at $170 now, $17.9 billion market cap. It's well ahead of Ripple XRP, but Ripple's doing good too in this overall rally. It's up 6.7%, $15 billion market cap. EOS is up 12.4%. Bitcoin Cash just overtook EOS, like we talked about, because Bitcoin Cash is up 50% while EOS is only up 12.4%. 12.4% is still pretty impressive. Like if this was any other day, 12.4% would be pretty major, but like we have some cryptocurrencies going up like 50%, like we talked about. It's one of the most bullish mornings I've seen. Binance Coin is up only 1.5%. So this is kind of the interesting thing. Binance Coin was rallying more than the other cryptos for like the past month or so because of the upcoming Binance Dex launch. But now that we have this huge rally happening, it's actually not rallying as much as everything else. It's barely rallying while everything else is rallying a lot. So Binance Coin's kind of moving downwards relative to the other cryptos, but it's still number 7. It's still a good amount ahead of Cardano, and it's in that number 7 spot on CoinMarketCap. And Binance Coin is nearing $20 per coin. Cardano's up 17%. Cardano's been doing really good over the past like couple weeks, even the past month. Stellar up 6.2%. Tron up 8%. And there was a time earlier this year, like in maybe January, I think, that Tron was like one of the top cryptos. And it was rallying a ton. But now it's slid back to number 11 on CoinMarketCap because everything else got really hot and it's rallying a lot. So Tron's not the only thing moving up anymore. Monero is up 6.5%, and Dash is up almost 10%. Since all of these major cryptocurrencies are rallying so much, the total crypto market cap is predictably rising a lot. It's risen in the past 24 hours from about $163 billion to $175 billion. It was as high as $177 billion just before midnight when Bitcoin almost hit $5,100 again. So it's gained $10 billion in the past 24 hours, actually $12 billion in the past 24 hours. And since this rally began, the market cap was $147 billion before Bitcoin started going crazy with this rally. So we have seen a rally of $28 billion in the cryptocurrency market cap in like less than a couple days. That's pretty amazing, and it's a good sign. I'm starting to think the bottom was at $3,100. I can't say the bear market is over yet. That's probably a little risky. Saying that could come back to bite me because it's possible the bears could come back and we could have some down days. It might even be possible that we can get pushed back down to $3,000 in like a worst case scenario. But it's starting to look like $3,100 was that bottom, and now we have really strong buying pressure bringing us up. I don't know when it's going to be safe to say that the bear market is over, but for right now it does not feel like a bear market, at least over the past couple of days. It feels like a real bull market. So we'll see if this continues. I think Bitcoin could get up to $6,000 because based on the data, that's where the real resistance is. Yeah, we have a resistance level of 5,100, but it could go back to 6,000 because that's a... There was basically not much resistance between like 4,200 and 6,000 based on the data I've seen. All right, moving on to the first interesting news story of the day. So we got several cryptocurrency companies, including the Litecoin Foundation, TokenPay, and Nimiq, N-I-M-I-Q, which is a blockchain startup. They're trying to buy out this bank in Germany called WEG Bank AG. So it's a real bank in Germany, and we got, it started with the Litecoin Foundation buying, I think, like 10% of the stake in this bank, and now we got other companies buying 20% of the bank. So in total, cryptocurrency companies own 30% of the bank. And what's happening here is they're each buying like 9.9% of the bank, because if they buy 10% or more, then there has to be regulatory approval for them to buy that much of the bank. And basically, it's probably unlikely that regulators would approve a cryptocurrency company owning a significant share of a bank. So what they're doing is like there's multiple cryptocurrency companies buying 9.9% of the bank. And we'll see how this progresses, but basically they're trying to take over a bank, and that's all they need. That's all the crypto world needs, is literally just one bank that's like a real bank to be owned by cryptocurrency people, and then cryptocurrency companies and individuals that use cryptocurrency a lot could safely bank. Because basically in the past, in the United States, even at huge banks that are like really reputable, if someone did a lot of cryptocurrency trading activity with their bank account, they could have their bank account closed. And the bank does not have to give any reasons for closing an account. They just say, you know, we you know, we're closing your account. They literally don't have to give any reasons by law. So there's been a lot of people in the United States that were doing legal stuff with cryptocurrencies, because cryptocurrency is a form of money, and it's a better form of money. It's really good for business and any other use. So people have tended to use it a lot once they really embrace it, and then the bank gets closed, and that causes big problems. Well, if there's one bank in the world that will accept cryptocurrency, you know, will actually follow the laws and accept that cryptocurrency is legal and it can be used for legal things and they're not going to close the people's accounts, that'll really help the industry. I'm sure it's already getting there for WEG Bank if 30% of the stake is owned by cryptocurrency companies, but they're probably aiming to own over 50% of it or even 100% of it. And then we could have a real pure cryptocurrency bank here that will let cryptocurrency exchanges sign up. Because basically, like, for example, we have Malta. Malta is called Blockchain Island. It's like a island country in Europe. And a lot of blockchain companies have gone there, like Binance. But they're still having problems there opening bank accounts, actually. Like, there was a lot of excitement. They were all applying for bank accounts there. And I think some of them did get a bank account, but it's not as easy. If there's a bank that's really owned by pure cryptocurrency companies, like literally any single exchange in the world could get a bank account with them, and any individual in the world could get a bank account over there. Maybe just German citizens, but for big companies, they can figure that out. So this is like an oasis. So WEG Bank could become like an oasis for the crypto world. And it's a really nice coordinated plan, you know, multiple cryptocurrency companies working together to take over a single bank, because that's all the crypto world really needs. A single bank that plays by the rules and doesn't throw people out just for using Bitcoin. Moving on to the next story. So the Bitcoin Lightning Network is rapidly growing. It has 1,071 Bitcoins of capacity, and now it's at $5.35 million of capacity. So this is the first time the Bitcoin Lightning Network has had over $5 million of capacity, and that's mostly because of this big rally we have seen. And also what's going on is the amount of transactions, the transaction frequency has probably spiked a lot because of this rally. Like, there's a lot more transactions than usual as people are buying and selling Bitcoin and moving it around during a rally. And in the past, without the Lightning Network, that could have caused a transaction fee crisis where the Bitcoin transaction fees start to rise so much that it becomes a problem. But now that we have Lightning Network, people literally could just download the Lightning Network and use it, and transactions are basically free. There's two transactions involved in a Lightning Network channel. Basically, the channel gets opened with one Bitcoin transaction, and then they close it with another Bitcoin transaction. And in between, you can send as many transactions as you want. So you divide those two transaction fees for opening and closing the channel by the total amount of transactions, and that's the fee per transaction on the Lightning Network, and it's very low. It's like less than a Satoshi usually, because you could send thousands of transactions, even technically millions of transactions in one Lightning channel. And yeah, the fees are very, very low. So this is a great scalability solution for Bitcoin. And as the transaction volume for Bitcoin rises on the network, the Lightning Network is basically taking off the excess load that would cause a transaction fee crisis. So Bitcoin transaction fees are staying low, and then the Lightning Network is growing a lot. It seems like the Lightning Network, it started like not that long ago. It was like really an embryonic network like less than a year ago, but now it's really maturing, and I think it's ready to be a real scalability solution, and that's exactly what's happening. So that kind of defeats the whole block size debate and all that. Like Bitcoin Cash, we just talked about how good Bitcoin Cash is doing today. Well, yeah, Bitcoin Cash is entirely based on having bigger block sizes to fit more transactions into a block. Well, that's not even needed because of the Lightning Network, because Bitcoin could have the same block size of 1 megabyte, and then all of the excess transaction volume could go to the Lightning Network. And individuals probably don't really use the Lightning Network because you could just use Bitcoin and pay, like, you know, less than a dollar for the transaction fee. But if you're a big company like Coinbase or something, you might as well use the Lightning Network. Instead of paying a transaction fee for each of your thousands of transactions per day, just use the Lightning Network and pay, like, nothing. So it's, like, something that big corporations really should embrace, and maybe they are. And that's what takes all the load off the actual Bitcoin network. Because if you have a big company like Coinbase embracing the Lightning Network, then you take all of their transactions off basically the main net, and then transaction fees stay low on the main Bitcoin network. And on the Lightning Network, transaction fees are always low. So this will help Bitcoin survive into the future, and the Lightning Network is predictably growing a lot. Moving on to the next story. So a Russian economist named Vladislav Genko is claiming that 1.8 million Bitcoin were purchased by wealthy individuals and companies in Russia, and that's about $8.6 billion, approaching $10 billion with the price increasing so much. So, yeah, there was fears of U.S. sanctions in Russia in general, because also Russia deals a lot with Venezuela and Iran, I guess. So, yeah, in order to get around sanctions, it's possible that corporations in Russia were buying Bitcoin, because Bitcoin does not respect any sanctions, because it's just totally a robot. And it's not in, like, the common financial network, like with SWIFT, or whatever interbank financial network you use, like, it totally follows the sanctions. But Bitcoin doesn't even know there's sanctions. It's not built into the code. So, yeah, when there's sanctions, for example, between, like, Russia, like the United States and Venezuela, but Russia wants to do business with Venezuela, then, you know, Bitcoin could still be sent to Venezuela easily. But SWIFT wouldn't work, for example. And SWIFT is a major interbank payment network that a lot of people use in daily life. So that's one reason that maybe a lot of Russians are buying Bitcoin, that it could circumvent sanctions. Another reason is that there's a lot of expectation that it'll be quite valuable in the future. And also in general, Russia and some other major countries like China are trying to abandon the US dollar. The US dollar is still number one in the fiat currency realm by far. But they're trying to diversify and use other currencies. So Bitcoin's an obvious choice because it could be sent anywhere in the world instantly and securely, and it's gaining value long term. So investments like this is what's driving the price of Bitcoin up long term. And I'm sure a lot more people have actually invested in the United States, more than, like, you know, $8.6 billion invested by some wealthy Russians. But it's happening all around the world. There's big investments happening. Like, there's individuals and corporations that have lots of money deciding to put a lot of money into Bitcoin to make their money more liquid for international commerce. So that's one of the factors driving Bitcoin's price up long term. And that'll only accelerate as Bitcoin starts to rally like this. These sort of buys around the world will only accelerate. And actually, this rally was caused by apparently a single purchaser bought Bitcoin on three exchanges at once in synchronization. They bought like $100 million of Bitcoin. So they bought $100 million of Bitcoin all at once, and that triggered a massive short squeeze. So this shows how even $100 million of Bitcoin being purchased at once could trigger a major Bitcoin rally in the right conditions. And hopefully we're going to be seeing an increasing amount of that sort of purchasing activity, especially if this rally continues, because people will see the prices rising, then rich individuals and corporations will decide to invest, and it creates a feedback loop. Moving on to the next story. So apparently, the Federal Reserve's payment system called Fedwire went down for a few minutes, and apparently this got, like, the Bitcoin world really excited. So Fedwire is actually a pretty big deal. Like, there's $2.8 trillion of transaction volume on Fedwire, like, every single day, and of course the Federal Reserve is the biggest bank in the world. It runs the U.S. dollar. Like, it's the only one that can print the U.S. dollar, and it literally runs the U.S. dollar, so there's $2.8 trillion of transaction volume every day as of January 2019 on Fedwire. In comparison, apparently Bitcoin transferred $3.2 trillion in all of 2018. So what the Fedwire transacts in one day is what Bitcoin transacts in an entire year, basically. But surprisingly, Bitcoin has a better uptime record than Fedwire, because Bitcoin never goes down. Bitcoin has not even gone down for a few minutes ever since its launch, really. It doesn't go down at all. So Fedwire is a centralized system, and that's its fatal flaw. If anything goes wrong, and who knows exactly what happened with this, maybe a server went on fire or something, or there was a virus, or someone got hacked. But anyways, they went down for a few minutes because they are centralized. So they have a centralized point of failure themselves. The Federal Reserve is a centralized point of failure, and their system that is so crucial for the entire economy of the world that transacts $2.8 trillion per day actually went down for a few minutes. And even going down for a few minutes was enough to alert the whole internet to that it went down, because so many people were using it at any given time. So whereas the Federal Reserve has a centralized point of failure, Bitcoin does not. Bitcoin is totally decentralized. Every computer that's running a Bitcoin full node in the world, like, actually has the Bitcoin Core wallet. That's what's running the network. Also, the miners all around the world. So as long as there's, like, one computer in the world running Bitcoin, Bitcoin will be running. So maybe the Federal Reserve should, like, build their own Bitcoin-like technology that doesn't go down ever because it's decentralized, or just adopt Bitcoin and throw out the US dollar. That's all I have for you today on this April 3rd, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode and go to crypto.iq for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. And also join the crypto.iq trading desk. They've made 314% profit since July. I'm sure it's even higher now because of this huge rally. So even in the worst of the bear market, they were making tons of money and they're ready for the bull market. They're expert traders. And if you join the crypto.iq trading desk, you can see their trades in real time and ask them as many questions as you want in real time and also see full trade analysis of each trade that they do. So if you join that crypto.iq trading desk, you could become an expert and profitable trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.